daily you will begin to trust yourself. That ain't safe. That is spiritually an unsafe thing to do. So, praise God. So, we trust in Him because of the price He paid and what He did. Praise the Lord. This one. Would you put that one up there? We'll use that one for a little while, and then I'll have you put that one up. There's 8 words in the Old Testament for the word trust, and we covered 4 of them. We covered the first three on this page, and then one on the other. But we want to go to Proverbs 22 and start there tonight. So as you're turning there, let's open with prayer. Father, again we come before You in that wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, Your Word, as You said, Your words are spirit and they're life to each and every one of us, Lord. And as we study Your Word, we ask You to anointing upon each and every one of us to hear, to speak, and Lord, to live and do Your Word. For it is the most important thing we can handle in our lives this day, because Your Word lasts for eternity. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not Your Word. So Lord, if we get hooked up with Your Word and we stay in Your Word, then we will spend eternity in that living Word. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 22, verse 17, 18, and 19. We're down at the bottom on that. I'm not going to try and pronounce the Hebrew words. You pronounce them however you want. They're not my language. Proverbs 22, verses 17 through 19. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to My knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them be fixed upon your lips, may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. All right, God has instructed you through His Word today. The word trust here means to give refuge, to mean it means security, hope. All those things, as I was studying this again this evening or this afternoon, the Lord brought back to my mind, back in 1975, I had hurt my back working at Knable Plastics, and I was out of work for 3 weeks because I couldn't move right. And I was out on our patio reading the Word of God one morning. And I had been teaching down in the church in Yelm for about 3 years by that time. And I just opened it, and that's what it fell to, was that scripture right there. And when I got to the point where it says, I have spoken to you, or I have instructed you today, even you, it was like the Lord took that and just made it about 100 feet tall. He says, John, I'm saying something to you. Probably the clearest I'd ever seen anything in the Word of God. It was just, and I knew exactly what He meant. He said, sell this house and get to Yelm. He'd called me full time. I was changing. I knew I was going to quit physical work and go full time. It just, when the Lord drops that in your spirit, He makes sure you know it. And the trust that I had in Him just magnified instantly. It was just something that I knew. I think that was in June that happened. There was a person in the church in Yelm that was a realtor. And I went to him that next Sunday, and I said, I want to know what I need to do to sell my house. So he came out the next day and looked at it, and he said, you put a roof on it. And there was one other thing he did. I don't remember what it was now. And he says, it'll sell. I said, okay. And he gave me the price it'd sell at. I said, okay. Well, in September, by September, we had sold the house, and we were moving to Yelm. When God says do it, it's time to do it. As long as you're on His timing, everything works and works well. And I praise God for that. But He says, I'm talking to you. Well, he's talking to you tonight. He's telling you and I that we need to put our total trust in Him, not just when we're in trouble. Not just when we feel like it. Not just when we need security. My brother and sister, you and I need security 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you're going to need it until Jesus comes and takes you out of here, either in the rapture or before, whichever way it happens. You need it, and you need it now. God is talking to you. Incline your ear. Now, the word incline here, when I'm thinking of that word, I get the idea that it's like a person that is trying to break into a vault. You don't want no noise around you. You want it absolutely quiet, and you put your ear up to that thing so you can hear. You know, somebody that does that. I've never done it, so I couldn't do it if you asked me to. But I've seen it on TV, you know, the stuff you watch. Their ear is close. Fact is, they'll take a stethoscope and put it on their ears and put it up there so they can hear better. See, that person is inclining their ear. Would you agree with that, that person is inclining their ear to that? They have a reason for it. See, well, you and I have a reason to incline our ear towards the Word of God, towards the things of God, towards what God is telling you. How many knows that God wants to talk to you every day? How many of you have never heard the voice of God? Oh, good. I never heard or seen a hand. Now, most of the time we learn to hear the voice of God when we've done something wrong. And boy, we know it real quick as something goes off down in here. And we've heard the voice of God. But that's not really how the Lord wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you through His Word. He wants to talk to you through one another communicating and sharing and talking about the things of the Lord. That's one of the best ways He wants to give us the manna from heaven on a daily basis just by talking about the things of the Lord with somebody in the natural on a daily basis. Because the more you talk about it, the more you trust Him. Notice what He says here. Apply your heart to my knowledge. See, God is building on something here. First, you incline or you listen real close. That means to hear intelligently, attention, and obedience. Not that you just heard what was said, but that you are going to do what you heard. Then He says, apply, which would mean that you're getting ready to do it. My knowledge or the knowing God. As you've listened to Him, you begin to know God. It is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them be fixed upon your lips. I dare you to try something. Read about 10 chapters of God's Word for 4 months. I guarantee you, you will be talking more about the things of God then than you are now. Because that will be in your mind, it will be in your heart. That's what you'll be thinking about because you're reading enough of it every day that it's beginning to take control of your mind and your thought processes. And the more you get that in you, pretty soon it's going to come in out, your lips. Amen. And just a byproduct of that you might enjoy is that people don't bother you as much as they did before you did that. Absolute truth. I've proven it more than once. See, other people can tell when you don't read the Word of God. But if you look at yourself, you can tell when you're not reading enough of the Word of God. You're getting irritated real too easy. Kind of quiet in here, isn't it? Quiet in here. So that your trust may be in the Lord. See, if you don't have the Word of God in you, if you don't talk about the Word of God, it shows that you trust what you're talking about. If you're not talking about the Lord, your trust is in what you are talking about. That's what He's implying. That's what He's trying to tell you right here. So if you're not talking about the things of God and a crisis comes up, your trust is not built to where it'll do you much good. And don't blame people around you. You're right where you're at because that's where you chose to be. Ouch. That hurts. But it's the truth. Jesus said again there, He says, I've instructed you today, even you. It's just as clear in my mind as it was that day in 1975. I'm telling you, that was so clear to me. Just like a, you know, just like he was standing right there on that patio talking to me. Boy, it felt good. Then he took me on down through verse 21. The end of verse 21, he says, that you may answer words of truth to those who ask of you. It means, it says send to you, but those who ask of you, that's what sealed it. See, God says, they got questions down there. I'm sending you there, and I'll answer their questions through you as you apply yourself to me. And if he'll do that to me, he'll do that to everybody. Now, there is a calling on my life, and that's part of a teacher's calling, is answering questions. I know that. There are times when somebody will ask me a question, I get no answers. There's the times the answers will come faster than I can give them. I found out why. I don't know whether you want to hear the reason why or not, but I found out why on that. You want me to tell you? Okay. I've watched it in the adult Bible classes I've taught in the past. When somebody wants to ask a question to try and be smart aleck or show you how dumb you are or any kind of reason like that, when they ask a question, I get nothing. But if a person's hungry before God and they really want an answer and that heart's crying out to God, I'll get an answer before they've almost said the question. That's the Holy Ghost. I'm just the vessel it's flowing through. And it don't matter whether it's me or you. If somebody needs an answer, because I've had it happen many, many, many times, the answer would come through somebody in the audience rather than me. That's fine with me. Don't matter. As long as a person gets their answer, who cares? See? There's a hungry heart that has a need from God. God will answer that need every time. But see, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Wherever you work, wherever you're at, because there's hungry people around you. You may not know it every day, but you're going to be there the one day that person needs it, and you're going to be there, and God's going to give you the answer. And sometimes He'll give you the answer, and you'll speak it, and they haven't even asked the question because they don't have the nerve to say anything, and God will give it to you and answer it. I had it happen many times down there at the little church in Yelm. After I'd get done teaching the adult Sunday school class, this person came up and said, John, was you standing outside my window this morning listening to everything I said? I said, no, he was 15 miles away. I have no idea. He says, well, you answered every question I got. I said, well, thank God, because that's the Holy Ghost. That ain't me. I ain't smart enough to answer all your questions. But he sure is. But see, this is what he told me to tell you tonight, is that he wants to use you the same as he uses me. It don't matter who we are. God wants to use you to help that person around you, because there will be a day when that person around you can help you. It's the body of Christ functioning together. But you have to have your trust in the Lord. Your security is in Him. My security is not in what I know or how much I know of the Word of God, because it ain't much. But I have a total security in Him that if somebody asks a question and that person is honest and heartfelt before God, He'll give an answer every time. I've never seen it fail. If He'll do it for me, He'll do it through you. Our trust in Him. Go to Psalms chapter 40 and verse 4. Blessed is that man or that woman or that person who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Blessed is the man or woman who makes the Lord their refuge, their security, their hope, and their assurance. You know, and we all get tested in that area because, you know, when the world is talking to you and you're trying to tell them where your trust and assurance and security is, they look like you. Well, what rock did you come off and under? Because they do not have any understanding of why you can trust the Lord in something that the doctor or somebody else is supposed to take care of, and you know in your heart, because you're close to Jesus, it really don't matter what the doctor says. You have a higher power. His name is Jesus. And He paid for your healing or your salvation or whatever your need was. He paid for it back on the cross. But you've got to believe that more than you believe what the doctor said. And sometimes that's pretty hard. How many know that your five senses talk real loud sometimes? They sure do. But do you trust your senses or do you trust what Jesus said? That's another song they were singing tonight. Whose report will you believe? In other words, whose report do you trust? What somebody said or what Jesus said? You've got to know that you know what you know, not what they know. What you know that He knows and He told you. Praise God. Blessed is that man, or happy. Fortunate to be envied. Okay, would you put that other one up there? We'll go back down now to that one. And we'll go down to the Job 13:15. Just a minute. We did that one. We got to go to Daniel 3:28. We did that and we lasted. I would like to go back to that because it talks about patience. You want me to go there again? Maybe we will. Yeah, go ahead. It's the second one down there. Daniel 3:28. If we run out of this other, we will go back to that. Because we all need patience, right? Daniel 3:28. How many have been reading in the book of Daniel lately? Yeah, it's an exciting book. It really is. He covers from his own time clear up past our time. God talked to him real clear. Verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve or worship any god except their own god." Now, they got put to the test. How many of you would like to, if you were going to be thrown in the fire or deny Jesus, which would you do? They did not have the salvation as you and I know it today. They just had made up their mind that their God was real and that they're going to serve Him. If it cost them their life, they was going to serve Him. That, you know, I'm going to ask God to run that reel again when I get up there. I'd like to see how He air-conditioned them. They didn't just build a fire. They said they built it 7 times hotter than normal. It was so hot that the men that threw them in got killed. That must have been pretty hot. Got all 3 of them thrown in, and all of a sudden he sees a 4th man. Oh, glory. That's Jesus.
Amen.
See, he was on the outside of them.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you get thrown in the fire, he's on the inside of you. And his air conditioning works fine from the inside, no problem. And if it don't work, you go to heaven sooner. I just kind of get envious of Papa Hagin and these different ones. You know, they're going on home to be with the Lord, at least 3 or 4 that I know of last week. Ain't fair. What?
Our turn's coming.
Yes, it is. Praise the Lord. Only reason you and I haven't gone is our work's not done yet.
That's right.
So what work you got to do tomorrow, get at it. Let's get this job done. See, they trusted in their God. Not when it was convenient, but because they trusted Him no matter what. You may get tested like that, you may not. There are many Christians around the world today that are losing their lives. Their lives are being taken because of their trust in Jesus. But oh, what a glorious, glorious thing when they get home. Hallelujah. Not only do the angels take them up there, they've got many waiting there for them. Besides that, Jesus is waiting there for them. That's worth it all right there. But they trusted. The word trust here means to attend upon. They had attended upon their God. See, and your faith and your trust needs to be attended on daily. Attended on. That means you're looking after it. You're doing something about it. You're feeding that trust. You're doing what you need to do to have that trust in place when you need it. You're not going to be like the person that has to do a 100-pound lift, and at this point you can only lift 25, and yet you got to lift 100 tomorrow. No, you better start working up to that, huh? In other words, build up, build your you know, build your spiritual muscles so that whenever that time comes that you got to trust, it'll be there. Now, where does your trust reside? It's in your brain. It's in your spirit. But see, your spirit and your soul reside in your brain. We talk about the heart because the heart is the center of a person, and without the heart, you don't live. You know, but see, that spiritually, you're talking about the center of your spiritual being. But your thought processes are in your brain. So that's where your spirit and your soul reside, and that's what you have to build up. How many have noticed that when you don't read the Word of God, you feel weak spiritually when something comes against you? But if you've been reading and praying, and you've been close to God where you belong, when something comes against you, you feel the strength that you can handle it. Not in your own strength, but you know you're strong enough in Him. No matter what comes against you, you can make it. You can make it. You may not know how you're going to make it. You don't have to know how you're going to make it. He knows how you're going to make it. If He told you how you're going to make it, you'd mess it up. How many have made a mess of what God's given you? At least once in your life. Sure we have. All right, go to Daniel 3:18. It says, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and expression on his face changed from toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke, commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. Actually, I was supposed to start in verse 13, wasn't I? And read up to 18. Because this is dealing where they had been told if they didn't bow down. And verse 18 was really the end of it before we jumped over to verse 28. So, but you can, if you want to read that, you can tell where their heart was and that their trust was in God. Because they were standing there and their life was on the line. In the natural, their life was on the line. And so they made their choice. Do you know that you can't make that choice until you get to the time of that choice? You got to make a choice each day what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, how you're going to stand for that day alone. Someday something big is going to hit you in the face, and then you're going to find out whether you've been standing up to the point where now you can handle this or it takes you out. Hallelujah. If you get taken out, it's not a big sin. I mean, you're not going to go to hell over being taken out. You just may get to heaven early. You know, and you know, God's going to receive you and everything's going to be fine. It's just that you don't have any rewards for what you could have done in that other extra time that God wanted you to be here. See, Paul, after he'd been to heaven, he says, "I just want to go back." He says, "I don't really like it here." He says, "I'd rather not be here." But he says, "It's more needful for you." In other words, he recognized that God wasn't done with him yet, that God wanted him here to help those people. God wants you here to help people that are around you. You say, "Well, I can't help anybody." Don't lie. You can. God has given you what is unique to you, and what you have can be a blessing to everybody around you. And if you don't give that to everybody around you, then you're failing in what God has called you to do. Because you have some things I need, I have things you need, and we minister to one another, and we help one another. But it all is based on your trust in God. That trust. Now, you can call it faith, you can call it believing. And it's interchangeable in the Old Testament. When you get to the word trust, they never use the word faith except one time. But it's always interchangeable with faith and believing. Because the three always work together. How much do you believe is the amount of trust you have. Go to chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And we see where Daniel got thrown into the lion's den. First he starts, let's just go with 10 through 12. "When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now, how many of you know what was written before that was that if anybody prays to any god other than the king, then he would lose his life? Daniel knew that exactly. He understood it completely. But see, Daniel had a custom with his God. Notice he left the window open. He didn't try and hide it. And they knew he would do that. So they knew they had him. They thought, boy, we've got him now. So verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, as though they didn't want to, or as though they didn't think they would, and making supplications before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. In other words, I cannot go back on my word. I have given it, and to save face, I will have to do what that law says. But let's go over to verse 18. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Isn't that interesting? The king was up all night. Daniel slept like a baby. He laid his head on one of the lions and slept like a baby. Why? Because his trust was unmovable. It was solid. Verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning, probably before the sun come up, went to in haste to the den of lions, and when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels, shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Isn't that funny? But notice what happens. The king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God, or he trusted in his God. But notice what else happens here. The king gave the command, and they brought those who had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Wow. Them lions were content all night with Daniel laying there right beside him. They were content sleeping like he was. No problem. But when that contentment raised by the Holy Spirit, food came in there. Oh, my. That's a gory sight, isn't it? Let me ask you this question. Oh, yeah, I want to see the rerun. No. Let me ask you the question. Does it pay to put your trust in Jesus? Amen. See, the thing of it is, it pays whether you make it or you don't. We've got, you know, eternity out of this world that's going to be perfect. Hallelujah. Our minds don't conceive of what it's going to be like. Oh, there's no way our minds can. But, buddy, it's going to be fun and it's going to be good. But our trust in Him will keep you safe. Praise God. All right, go over to Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I will put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. And the word trust here means a shelter, your hope, your place of refuge. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust. I have a shelter. I have hope. I have this place of refuge in the Lord God, that I may declare His works. How many of you shared with somebody something that the Lord has done for you? That's exactly what he's talking about there, because you found in the Lord he would answer your prayer, meet your need, and you shared with him, and that's exactly what he's talking about here. God meets your need and you share that with somebody, that's just what he was doing. And you can do that. Go over to Isaiah 25 verse 4. The same word again is used. Oh, it's a little slower finding it in the Old Testament, isn't it? That's okay. This is good. This is good practice. 25 verse 4. For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Now, that word refuge there is the word trust. A refuge from the storm. You're trusting him in the storm. Have any of you seen that picture where it shows this huge storm, and yet in the little cleft of the rock, this little bird is just sitting back in here where the storm can't get to him. Sometimes God takes care of you that way. Sometimes he takes care of you that way. But God is taking care of you. See, that's the key thing. How many of you have had a storm in your life lately? Let me put it this way. Is anybody in here that hasn't had a storm in your life lately? If you haven't, you will soon. The devil will make sure of that. All you have to do is mean business with God and go after the things of God, and you will get some storms in your life. Either spiritually, mentally, physically, or financially. Any one of them four ways, but you will get it. That's okay. I mean, no, the resistance is what makes you stronger. Sometimes it takes resistance to make you dig in and mean business with God. We have found, over watching people, watching myself, it's when things are going the best, is when you are the weakest. Because when somebody's pushing against you and you're pushing back, then you're doing all right. You're fighting. You'll make it. It's when everything's going good and you think you got it made, and the next day, it's pulled right off and under you. That's all right. See, it may get pulled off and under you, but you're still stepping on Jesus. See, you're in the solid rock. And it's up to you and me how close I want to get to that solid rock. I choose to get close to that every day. Every day. Psalms 46, 1 and 2. Trust. Are you trusting? If you don't know how to trust, just start reading God's Word. Read it over and over and over and over. It says, God is our refuge or our trust and strength. That's the word refuge again, is the word trust. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. A very present help. In other words, he's right here close. When you're in the middle of that problem, he's right in the middle of it with you. He never lets you be alone in a struggle. The reason most of us don't recognize that is because we're waiting for some human feelings in the midst of the problem to know that Jesus is there. Jesus is there because His Word says it, and I believe it, not because I feel it. Because when you're in the middle of trouble, you can't trust your feelings. You can't trust your emotions. How many of you have had your emotions take you on rides that you wished you wouldn't have went on? Especially, ladies, I think, have more problem with that than guys do as a general rule. Not always, but as a general rule, they do. And God's very close to you. Very close to you. You know, he don't make no distinction whether it's male or female. He don't care. He loves you. He's with you. No matter what trouble you're in the middle of, he's with you in the middle of that trouble. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Verse 2 says, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now, I'll tell you when that needs to work. How many of you remember the last earthquake? What's the first thing that hit your mind? Fear. Where's my kids? What's going on? How am I going to take care of them? What if something happens to me? The mobile home we have down there is sitting on sand. We dug down. We was going to put in a build our own house there, and so we had them dig down 8 feet, 10 feet. Nothing but sand. Didn't matter how far they went. There was nothing but sand. 500 feet away from me, you can't find no sand. It's nothing but rocks. The other direction, nothing but clay. But the place where we have right there, it's nothing but sand. And that stuff, it's really not very solid when the earthquake goes on. Sand likes to give. And that old mobile home, man, you think it's just going to come clear apart. You know, your mind is telling you one thing, and your spirit's trying to reach up there and get a hold of God, and your mind is saying, I don't want that. I want something else. That's when these things hit. That's when our trust has to be so solid in Him. It don't matter what happens. He said, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Earthquake's probably the closest thing that I could imagine on that verse right there that would get my attention. They had one that was back in, what, 64? And I was working at a place down on South Tacoma Way, a chair factory. And this one person, he worked about 10 or 12 feet away from me, and he'd been through one earlier in his life. And I'd been in a couple, but it really hadn't. I didn't think anything about it. Well, we had a bad one that year. And this person, I didn't even have time to just step back from my thing. This guy was out the door. I mean, he ran about 30 feet down a stairway, and he was outside before I could even get away from my machine. He was as white as that man's shirt right there. See, I didn't have fear driving me quite that bad. But your mind just don't know what do you do? You know? Well, this, apparently David had found an answer. Though the earth be removed, I'm trusting you, God. If I go, fine. If I don't go, fine. I'm trusting you. Now, either your trust will work at that time, or it don't work. But whether it works or not is up to me, not anybody else. Whether your trust works or not is not up to God. It's up to you and I what we choose to believe, what we choose to stand on, what we choose to allow our mind to think on. It's up to us. It's our choice. One more on this word trust in Psalm 71, verses 7 and 8. It says, I have become as a wonder to many. But you are my strong refuge, or my strong trust. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. When he said, I am become as a wonder to many, he's talking about the children of Israel. And the word wonder there means a sign and proof. See, the children of Israel had become a sign to the world and proof to the world that God existed. Remember when they... You know, there was the 10 plagues that got them out of the land of Egypt. Then they went through the Red Sea. Then they went through, you know, as on dry ground. And then it came back together and drowned the Egyptian army. And then they went through on dry land through the River Jordan when it's actually at flood stage. That'd be another one I want to see. How did that water back up and just stand there? I mean, how far did he have to stop it back up there so it would stop coming down? That's interesting. That stuff just intrigues me. But they went through on dry ground. Well, how long, you ever walked in a riverbed? It's not dry.
Nope.
It's wet. It's muddy.
It takes a long time to dry.
See, God gave us the answer when it was the Red Sea. He says, and a wind blew all night.
Yeah.
Dried that out. It's probably clay, so it was just rock hard in the morning. And they walked on across that day. It took them all day. There were so many, a couple million people. You know, it takes a little while to get across the Dead Sea. What was causing that to happen? Their trust in their God. God said it. I do what He said. Then He does what He says. And it works. My trust in my God is what makes God work in my life. Because Paul learned that same lesson, because he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, in the word faith there will interact with the word trust. We walk by trust and not by our five emotions. That's what my rendition of that would be. When he's talking about sight there, he's talking about your five emotions or your flesh. How many have walked by your flesh when you knew you shouldn't and you paid the price? Yeah, we've done it. See, God wants you and I to become as a sign and a wonder to this world, the same as He had Israel be a sign and a wonder to that world. He wants you and I to be the sign and the wonder and have that changed life, because if they see Jesus in Christ in you and see you conformed into His image, they're going to want what you've got, because you're going to walk in peace in the midst of a storm, and they're going to wonder, how in the world can you do it? We should be able to walk in peace in the midst of any storm that comes against our life, because we got Jesus on the inside. And I dare you, you read the four Gospels and you will not find one place where Jesus ever got disturbed about anything. Except that the Pharisees, when they're, he got mad at sin. Yeah, he got a little bit. In fact, he made a whip. And he took it to these guys. Why? Because they were making God's house a house of merchandise. I wonder how many churches today God would have to make a whip today if He came down here and walked. Oh, boy, we better not go there. Midland again. Yep. Better behave. Let's go on back here to Job 35. I guess we could make that a little personal. How many of you have had God take you to the woodshed, so to speak? You know, been in the woodshed lately? I see some hands there. Yes, I've been there with you. You know, that's a beautiful thing about the Holy Ghost. He's got a private woodshed for every one of us. He can take you there without anybody else knowing it, if you'll keep your mouth shut. 35 verse 14. Although you say you do not see Him, yet justice is before Him, and you must wait for Him. In other words, you must trust Him. They use the word wait for there, but it's actually the word trust. You must trust Him. Although you say you do not see Him. Now, how many can you see? How many of you have seen Jesus with your physical eyes? I haven't. I don't think anyone here. Our pastor said he did, and that's good. But that's the one he was talking about this morning. God asked him lately, would you trust or would you trade that seeing Him physically with the eyes with what He knows now? Uh-uh. No, because the knowledge He has now is from the inside out. He was very young spiritually then, and God had come to him and talked to him. I've said sometimes, quite a few times, Pastor said, man, I wish the Lord would do that for me. He said He would if you needed it. That just shut me up. I said, thank you, Lord. I'm happy. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And you can't take it away from me. Nobody can. Amen. I know Him. Praise the Lord. Wait for. Wait for. Now, we could get into patience on that one, but we won't. The word trust in this case, it means to wait carefully, patiently, to bring forth, to be in labor of childbirth, to writhe in pain. Now, that's almost like the one we had talked about when we was in Job 13. It's two different, completely different Hebrew words, but they mean almost the same thing, because that dealt with patience also. But how many of you have writhed in pain waiting for God to keep His word? Not very many of us. Most of us, we got a credit card, or we got a doctor, or we got something else. We will give God length of time. If He don't meet our needs in that length of time, we'll go do it ourselves. Until we get to the point where the doctors say, hey, it's nothing we can do. Now you got to wait. Is it wrong to do that? I'm not saying it is. Please don't take me wrong. But see, God wants us to wait and trust Him, because He's never late. By His clock. See, He may not be able to read your clock. Shut up, John. Don't go there. How many have got all the patience you need? Anytime God says, I'm going to answer, and then you just start praising Him and thanking Him, and you just wait and you just praise God and you keep a good attitude and you... You know, people make fun of Abraham, but you know, he waited 25 years before he got that promise. How many of you have waited 25 days? Most of us can't wait 25 minutes. Lord, I need something to eat. How quick can I get to McDonald's? I have to wait at least 5 minutes there to get my food. Wait patiently. Psalms 37, verse 7. How many here enjoy serving God?
Amen.
Amen. 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Wait patiently would be the words trust. Rest in the Lord and trust in Him. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. How many have had the thoughts pass through your mind, being frustrated when you've done everything you know to do, the best you know how, and somebody that's living for the world has all their needs met and they seem to have plenty? Thought ever crossed your mind? You get just kind of, hey God, what's going on here? He's telling you to wait patiently for Him. Could it possibly be that somewhere back in your history you have not done something you could have? Yeah, it could be. Could possibly be. If you had your life to live over again, how many would you do it differently, and especially in the area of finances and some of the decisions you've made, and we've learned things the hard way and we wished we could go back and do it? Yeah, we've all. Somewhere down that line, we didn't wait patiently long enough, did we? Or we didn't connect in to God. There's only basically two, you know, I've made, especially buying cars, I've made so many mistakes, it's scary. But, you know, there's two areas in my life that I have not missed it when waiting for God. One was in my marriage, and the other is in what God called me to do. Those two areas I had waited and I waited and I waited until God opened the door. That was the two areas I felt was the most important things in my life. And I was afraid to move too fast. Now, I had the privilege of being raised in a Christian home, knowing Jesus Christ. Actually, I was in church from a baby on up, so I was always in a where they was praying in tongues and praising God and worshiping God. So I had that privilege. And see, I used that because I had read the Word of God enough that I knew I had to make those two things right. And with His help, I did it. I wasn't smart enough on either one of those cases to know what I needed at the time or what was best for me. But He did. And I tell you what, it pays to wait on God for those two things, because the most important things you'll ever do in your life is sell out to Him and get married. Tell you what, it pays to wait. It pays to wait. God only made me wait 6 months on giving me the okay for my wife. But it was a lot longer on that. There was different waiting times in the call in the area of ministry. But in those waiting times, I was doing what I needed to do to stay on track with God. When I got started in the area of ministry, I was in a little bitty community church, and I didn't know what to do. So what did I do? I started cleaning the church. And then I started trying to teach the children's classes. Well, I learned real fast, that was not my call. It took me about halfway through the first Sunday morning. I tried it for 2 weeks. I said, I'm sorry, this I cannot do. I says, I'll go out and cut all the wood you want for this church. And they heated the church with wood. We lived up in the country, so, you know, a bunch of us guys, we'd go out every year and cut the wood and come in and split it and get it all ready for winter so we'd have enough. And I'd spend all the time doing that, cleaning the church, whatever. But I wasn't about to teach the Sunday school class. Just couldn't do it. And so, you know, I had my car. First car I ever owned was a 49 Cadillac, and I had that. I kept that thing full, bringing kids and young people and people to church. I was doing what I could do, I knew I could do. But in the meantime, anything they asked me to do that I could do, I would do it. Now, you never asked me to play the piano either. That's Tammy's and Jack's, and you can tell, that's their anointing. They do a good job at it. So, you know, there's things you can do. Find out what you can do. Volunteer. Be open. Always be open to try and help and do where you can. If it isn't working out, try something different. Just don't give up. God ain't giving up on you. Don't you give up on Him. You see, and God is testing you and me by how by how we get along with each other. Is that ever a test to you? No? There's never been a church that I've been to in my life, and I don't miss service. You couldn't count on one hand. Or yeah, you could count on one hand the services I've missed in my lifetime. There's every church I've ever been at, there's always been at least one person that I can't stand. And you want to know what? That's a mutual feeling, seems like. So God's testing me. You know, there's a scripture that says, many are called, but few are chosen. The word chosen there means few pass the test. Okay, I'll quit. We're done. Praise God. I hope it wasn't too boring for you tonight. The Lord bless you.